You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we are back kicking off hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily with the Browns Vice President of Player Personnel, Andrew Berry. Welcome to CBD. Welcome to the Dog Bowl. First time to have you. Excited. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Nate?
I'm doing very well. Obviously, a big weekend for you as you bring in 14 new members. Well, 15 if Jamar Taylor ends up here, passes physical, and is ready to join the Cleveland Browns. Busy weekend. Did you ever think coming out of it that you'd actually have 14 new Cleveland Browns?
To be quite candid, I did not. But we're really excited to just have a big draft class, but not only just in terms of number, big in terms of talent, big in terms of character. And we're excited to bring all these guys aboard for the spring.
Obviously, a lot of people here have wanted a wide receiver to be drafted by the Cleveland Browns for years and years and years. You guys said, hey, why don't we give them four of them, which we're all very excited about. But let's start with the first one. You had your pick of any wide receiver on the draft board. You chose Corey Coleman. What was the thought process with that, and what do you like so much about Corey?
Yeah, the biggest thing that stands out with Corey is just his speed and his big playability. It's hard to find players that can change the complexion of a game with a single touch. Those are the guys that scare defensive coordinators in the NFL. And with Corey, we felt like he can absolutely do that at the NFL level. So we were really excited to get him, can add a level of potency to our offense, and we're really excited to see him perform this fall.
The one guy, Nathan and I both had, the three top out of the 14 that we're excited about, Corey Coleman being one. Me, I went defense, of course, as always, with Emmanuel Ogba. And where do you project him? Because I think he's a physical specimen who produced extremely well at, the defensive end position in college and kind of sometimes was a man amongst boys. But where does he project in Ray Horton's 3-4 scheme?
Sure. So Emmanuel projects as an outside linebacker for us. And we felt very fortunate to have him there at the 32nd pick. It's hard to find players who are as big and as athletic and as explosive as he is. And we think he'll make the conversion seamlessly in our defense.
So you talked about the two guys we've talked about so far, speed, explosiveness, et cetera. And I don't know if it was coincidence or not, but a lot of these guys scored very high on spark. Was that something that you really were looking for in terms of changing not only the culture with the no off-field issues with these guys, no character concerns, hard workers, but also just flat-out explosive stud athletes?
No, absolutely. We want fast, athletic, explosive players on our team. I can't tell you that we were monitoring the spark ratings specifically, but we want guys who show that high level of athleticism, high level of explosion on film.
All right, we're talking with Browns Vice President of Player Personnel, Andrew Berry. Andrew, and when you were there at 32, I imagine that had to be a very appealing pick to a lot of people. We heard Dallas wanted to come up and get Ogba himself. What was kind of the thought process there? This is a guy we have to have, because I'm sure there were a lot of offers there. Was that a tough decision at the end of the day to stay and take someone versus opposed to try and move around and get some more assets?
You're always looking to be opportunistic. And at 32 specifically, we did have interest in the pick. But ultimately, we felt Emmanuel was a player that we couldn't
had
pass up. And we're excited to have him. We think he's going to really add to our pass rushing ability on defense.
The one thing that's very glaring to me, and we've pointed it out, explosive. Very productive at the college football level, but to a certain extent, all of them a little raw. And I just wonder, and this is kind of my take about this class, is that you're really leaning on Hugh Jackson and the staff that he's put together here in Cleveland to mold these young, explosive, raw talents into well-refined professional football players, and doing so in a Browns uniform.
Well, what I would tell you, Matt, is I don't think there's a better staff in the NFL to mold 14 young players coming into the NFL. And to be truthful, as we talk about all rookies that come into the NFL, the reality is none of them, or very few, are ready to play day one. And player development has to occur in all aspects for guys to reach their potential. So, when you say raw, really almost any player that
Correct.
Enters the NFL is raw. And so, we're excited about this group, and we know Hugh and his staff are going to do a fantastic job with them.
All right, let's talk about the end of Friday, the third round. You guys are there. You end up getting three players. Obviously, Carl Nassib, the defensive end from Penn State, Sean Coleman, the tackle from Auburn, and then Cody Kessler, the quarterback of USC. Obviously, you guys like Cody Kessler. I know he was considered to be a late riser. When you were there, was the temptation there to take him at pick 77? Were you guys nervous? And was that the target at 77? Or once you moved back, what was said, this is the time now, let's get Cody?
That's just quite honestly where we felt most comfortable. We thought he was the best player on our board at the time, certainly at a very important position. Cody, he was one of the most accurate passers in college football, plays a pro-style game. Very productive throughout his time at USC, and we just thought that that was the appropriate point to pick him.
Who would you, for people who haven't gotten an opportunity, I'm from California, I've watched a ton of Pac-12. For people who haven't gotten a chance to really see him, who's somebody that you would say he's similar to maybe in the National Football League right now?
You know, to be quite honest, I really don't use comparisons because most players really strike me as unique. I think it's easy to go down the route of comparisons, and sometimes when you give those names, it might just because a guy's short or because a guy has the same jersey number or maybe because the guy's the same nationality. Really, players are unique combinations of physical and mental traits, and they all produce in their own unique manner.
So, all right, let me rephrase it then in a way that I think you'll answer. Where does he win?
Oh, he wins, number one, with his accuracy. Wins with his accuracy, number one. Number two, just with his ability to see the field, his anticipation. He wins the mental game on every snap. Great decision maker, and we know that that skill set will play in the NFL.
As we talk about skill sets that play well and projections into the NFL, another Big Ten guy, you know, besides Carl Nassib that comes our way is linebacker Joe Schobert. And I think it's almost a little bit of a luxury because so few defenses at the college football level play the 3-4 defense. And Joe was extremely, extremely productive in that Wisconsin-style defense with sacks, rushing the passer. And I asked you about Ogbo, but where do you see him fitting, or where does Ray Horton feel comfortable starting him, I guess, as a Cleveland Brown in the 3-4 defense?
Yeah, Joe's a very unique case because he was a highly productive 3-4 outside linebacker, Wisconsin, but doesn't necessarily come in the traditional 3-4
right.
outside linebacker body type.
Size, yes.
But he's been able to be an incredibly productive college football player. Certainly it'll be up to Ray and his staff where they want to play him, but we see him as a guy who can play both outside and inside. He can rush the passer, he can drop, he can cover, great tackler, obviously plays with nonstop energy, and also has probably the best nickname in college football. So.
And what is that?
Joe the Show.
Joe the Show.
Well, I mean, Hollywood Higgins might complain about that. He might.
No, very true, very true. So 1A and 1B, say that.
So let's talk about these wide receivers because that's something we know about Coleman. He was the high-profile guy. He added a trio after that. Ricardo Lewis, size, speed, unbelievable athlete, vertical guy. Rashard Higgins, incredibly productive 2 years ago, over 1,700 yards and 17 touchdowns with Garrett Grayson at Colorado State. And then Jordan Payton, the all-time reception leader in the history of UCLA. What can people expect? Because they all seem different. And, in fact, all four of the guys you added are different. So what do you get from Lewis, Higgins, and Payton?
No, we certainly like the diverse skill sets that we added this weekend. And I'd almost maybe classify them in two separate categories. Obviously, with Corey and Ricardo, they're burners, really can sort of threaten the defense vertically, big play, explosive threats. Whereas Rashard and Jordan, they fit more your typical possession mold, catch everything, bring a lot of size to the position group, very polished players. And between those four, we think we can add a lot to that room.
Seth DeValve, another guy, an offensive body, very productive college football player. But just as not a lot of people have seen Cody Kessler play out on the West Coast, I'm sure not a lot of people saw Seth DeValve play football at all.
Was it a mandate that you guys got an Ivy League guy? I mean, that's what we want to know. How did you end up watching Princeton?
I'll tell you what, it's a credit to our scouts and it's a credit to our coaching staff. Really, they turn over every rock. They comb every player that we can possibly find. And Seth was a guy that sort of came on our radar early in the process, and we got the sense that he started picking up steam around the rest of the league throughout the spring. But he was a guy that we identified pretty early on that we thought would be a really great fit in Hugh's system. At the tight end position and could provide us a little bit of mismatch capability in the passing games.
I mean, he's a guy, honestly, when you guys drafted him, I was speechless. And I know, I feel like my knowledge goes pretty deep, and that was
Atlantis. Dead air. Was like, yeah, we got like, nothing.
I was like, I have no idea. So we tried to find out, and all of a sudden, some people popped up who had scouted him, and somebody called him the Gronk of FCS. And then you watch his workout video, and you're like, my goodness, where did this guy come from? He played receiver. I mean, you see the way that he moves in these videos. This is a guy you envision him kind of as like a flex tight end. I hate to use the name, but it's kind of like what Aaron Hernandez brought to New England. Is that what you guys hope, Seth? Obviously not necessarily at that level right away, but eventually, is that the kind of idea?
No, certainly. I mean, he's a player that's, quite honestly, an incredible athlete. Again, we use that term explosive.
He's the number one spark tight end, FYI.
There we go. Explosive. He's fast. He's athletic. Probably would have gotten a little bit more notoriety if he didn't sort of fight through injuries over the past 2 years. But we certainly think that he's a player who's skill set, his physical skill set, will play effectively at tight end in the NFL.
One guy that I want to get your take on, really, the only two guys added to the defensive backfield. One of them played with a broken collarbone, Derek Kindred, the safety out of TCU, which is very impressive, and then the cornerback, Trey Caldwell from Louisiana Monroe. For people who didn't see them, what can you tell us about those two?
Yeah, with Derek, he's got a very well-rounded skill set from the safety position, athletic and fast enough to play from a deep half or sort of roam the middle of the field as a post defender, but he's also physical and tough enough to run reality. To tackle with a broken clavicle for most of the year. It's incredibly impressive. And Trey, he's a small school corner who is athletic, fast, and very, very feisty. His competitiveness really jumped out to us on film, and we're excited to see him once he gets on campus in the spring.
Andrew, last one for me, and our only seventh-round pick.
Scoop.
You guys take linebacker Scooby Wright, a household name out of Arizona. Production is what screams out. He may not be the most athletic player in the world, but very similar in some cases to what the same way that Joe Schobert, he can tackle, he can cover, he makes plays. And why was it a priority, as some guys at that point in the draft may, wish to choose where they go? Why did you guys seek him out to make sure you had him in a Cleveland Browns uniform?
We just loved this film when he was healthy. I mean, we truly did. The guy is an incredibly instinctive football player, plays with great initial quickness, tackles everything in sight. I think had something like 16 sacks his true sophomore season. Obviously, was the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year.
It's going to be the Pac-20 someday.
it may be, but we're excited to have him in the dog pound, and I think he'll be a good contributor for us.
Was there one guy that when you went through this process before you got there that you were like, man, this is the guy, this is the Andrew Berry guy, this is who I want?
To be honest, I think the whole draft class is probably indicative of what we want to embody as an organization. I think it's probably unfair to pinpoint one specific guy because there are so many great players and so many great stories in the draft, and we're really, really pleased with the guys we were able to acquire this weekend and think that they'll do a great job of setting the foundation for our team.
Not that you go and seek out guys who've had to overcome obstacles, but it seemed like that was a theme, whether it be cancer, whether it be being a walk-on, told you're never going to make it, whether it be the broken clavicle, whatever it is. These guys are Cody Kessler and just the turmoil that he endured at USC. Was that something that you looked for, because knowing that the work here is going to be tough? You have to overcome a lot to turn this team from 3-13 to where everybody wants it to be, which is a perennial Super Bowl contender.
No, we certainly want guys who are tough and able to overcome and deal with adversity, because it doesn't matter if you go 15-1 during a season, or if you go below 500, you're going to have to endure adversity both at the collegiate level and at the professional level. So that's really, it's not an optional requirement once you get to the pros. And certainly our class has its fair number of stories of players who have sort of public external battles in that regard, but really every guy that we brought in, we felt very comfortable with their ability to overcome adversity, and obviously they play on the field with a level of toughness that we want here in Cleveland.
All right, we know at the end of the day there can only be 53 guys on the Cleveland Browns. You've added 14 of them this weekend. Maybe 14 make 53, maybe they don't. Nonetheless, that is going to be a big percentage of your final roster. What's kind of the message that you are sending to everybody who already was a Cleveland Brown before that day in terms of, look, get ready to compete because it's going to be a dogfight?
Yeah, I don't know that we're trying to send a specific message, more so than we want to build a strong young core. We always want to add talent. We always want to add competition to every position every year, because ultimately the cream will rise to the top, and that's how you build rosters that can eventually challenge for divisions, challenge for the playoffs, and win Super Bowls. And so every year we're going to approach it with that mindset, because the better the overall talent level, the better overall product we'll have on the field.
Was this draft a huge vote of confidence for Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson?
I don't know that the draft I would consider really independent from any existing player on the roster. I mean, we're just happy to add good young football players who we think will assimilate well into our culture and obviously provide a great on-field benefit as well.
All right, last one for me, just about the process, because you've gone through what I would consider maybe, or people want to label traditional NFL drafts at Indianapolis. I don't know how big of a role, you know, you incorporated all the various things that were incorporated into your process there. But what was this like for you in your first draft here with you and Sashi and Hugh, and kind of how that worked and how these decisions were made?
It was fantastic. I mean, the word I would use is it was just collaborative, you know, not only between Hugh, Sashi, Paul, myself, but the scouting staff, the coaching staffs, just the group as a whole just did a fantastic job, and we're really excited with the results and looking forward to seeing these guys on the field in a few weeks.
Yeah, we know it can only take one draft to really turn the franchise around, and hopefully when you bring in 14 guys like this, this can be that draft for the Cleveland Browns. Andrew, thanks so much. I'm sure you need a little rest after this, after going through all that and getting the undrafted guys that are going to be coming in here and joining this team. But the rookies will be here in a little over a week, and it'll be time to get to work. Very exciting. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Yeah, we'll have to have you more often. Yeah, the president, vice president of player personnel, Andrew Berry, our guest here. When we come back, load up the phone lines again. Continue to get your reactions here. 216-578-0850. Zagura Wilhelm Gibbs on CBD.
I truly believe that this class will start to put a stamp on what we're truly about and what we're becoming. You know, we're not there yet by any stretch of imagination. We have a long way to go, but you have to start someplace.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to the CBD, Matt. That's our first time to get to talk to Andrew Berry. And you know, you get a sense that this is a guy that knows these players. That's obviously his role, to be the top talent evaluator here. And you know what I liked? He wouldn't single anybody out. I'm sure he had his
guy. I was going to ask him that question prior to you asking it, and I just...
I knew what I was going to get.
PR's here for
maybe.
A reason, yeah. And these guys are very well protected. And after hearing the press conferences, you know, with Sashi and Andrew both take on the same, you know, connotation about
smooth.
Keeping it smooth and very obviously very well educated and like all of us,
of course,
and the big picture. And yeah, you and I will pick our three. And
we'll have our guys. Yeah. Rod Carew.
They're like, it's
them.
The class. Of it's course. Class. That's their livelihood, though.
Yeah.
Their livelihood is to let all of these 14. And to be very honest with you, you asked a question at the end, and I was kind of like leaned in to hear the answer about, you know, jobs at stake and adding 14 guys. And I loved his answer. You know, the cream rises to the crop. Or rise to the top. You know what I mean? And so do the math. There's 67 guys. We just added 14, and we'll probably sign at least a dozen undrafted free agents. That, for the most part, is your Cleveland Browns.
I mean, you're going to go into these rooms now, rooms that are going to carry 4 to 5 people are going to have 12 guys, 10 to 12 guys in those rooms right now. So you do the math. You know, it's one of those things. You got to figure out a way to be the best in the room. When you're the best in the room, then you get to stay here. And that's kind of the way that it goes. And that's what this competition is going to be all about. Let's go to Alex in Camp Lejeune now. Alex, welcome.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing? Alex, thank you so much, first of all, for your service to this country.
Thanks for
being with us.
I'm a contractor on Camp Lejeune right now. I'm not a Marine.
Okay,
just,
all right.
Just on lunch. But
thanks, Gibbs.
I love the show almost as much as I love the draft. You know, we got 14 guys. Everybody has given us C's and B minuses. And
plenty of A's are out there,
team,
by the way. Plenty of A's.
What's that?
There are a lot of A's out there as well. Pro Football
there
Focus,
are.
A lot of the analytics people think we're number one.
A plus. But, you know, we got 14. You take your favorite 7 guys and compare that to the rest of the league. And I think we're, you know, top 2 teams in the draft. I mean, you know, Corey Coleman had a couple CCs to the playmaking ability. Cody Kessler, the unanimous decision, I'm going to call him. And then, you know, Scooby Wright is just a really fun name to say. So couldn't be happier with the draft. We did good.
Good. I'm happy, too. I'm very excited to see what happens, you know, with these guys when we can get them here. And when you look at it, most teams have 7 swings at the plate, okay? The Browns had 5 in the first 3 rounds. You know, then you go 9 in the first 4 rounds. If you could, even if you can turn 14 guys into 5 quality players, that's huge.
It is huge. And just to talk that numbers game, as I said, the 14 guys, another dozen undrafted free agents, plus the 67 that are, you know, are currently here in Cleveland. That doesn't, I'm not saying that, I'll say it right now. All 14 will not make the Cleveland Browns football team. Vets will go.
They could practice squad it, but then they're eligible to be taken.
Correct. Yep. They can be eligible to be taken off. But I think, you know, every year you look at Isaiah Crowell, you look at Tashaun Gibson, you look at Kaywan Williams. A number of Browns over the last 3 to 5 years have come in and played a significant role under the radar, not getting drafted. So while these guys will get the attention, I think if I were a Browns fan, give me that roster slip of all the rookies. Corey Coleman and Emmanuel Ogbah will stand out automatically as a first and second round pick, and they should. But as you get down in the bottom, you're going to see flashes of you know, being made by these players: Jordan Payton, Ricardo Lewis, and Scooby Wright, maybe on a kickoff or fitting up a guy perfect in a run fit, whatever it is. And you're going to go, who is that? That kid can play football. And then the pads come on, and that's the full-on equalizer, because everybody looks great in shorts and T-shirts. And that's what really the evaluation process has been. That's why what you do at college, and as I listen to Andrew Berry, the productivity of Schobert and Scooby Wright and Nassib as a senior, that stands out to these guys, and now they're getting the tutelage of this staff that Hugh Jackson has put together.
Absolutely. And it's, I'll tell you, I'm always excited. I'm not afraid
to
say
we know that.
I'm always excited, but I'm really excited for this camp, because if these guys come in and are what the team hopes they are, 50% of them are what the team hopes, it can really change things in a hurry for the Cleveland Browns. 216-578-0850. Let's go to the Cleveland Elf. Cleveland Elf.
Hey, what's going on? Nate Diesel, how you feeling today?
Good, brother. Very good. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Hey, I give it a B-. I'm really happy overall. I think we got
the players.
A little worried about reaching on Ricardo Lewis. And I love that day three, we struck gold. Scooby Wright, Hollywood Higgins, Python Payton. I think there's guys there that are going to really help the team this year. I guess my biggest concern is Friday night when we took Mr. Kessler. Has this kid ever seen snow before? He grew up in, where is it, Bakersfield?
Bakersfield, California. Known by many as the armpit of California.
It is right. Not pretty.
No.
I've driven that a bunch.
Oh, man.
So I'm
my girlfriend in fourth grade moved to Bakersfield. She actually moved to Barstow and then Bakersfield. It was devastating.
Good riddance.
Oh, wow. So I'm just worried because the last time we took a guy in the third round that never played in snow before, had arm strength concerns, was Colt McCoy. I'm just stating the obvious. I'm worried. You know, is this kid going to be able to produce in the cold weather in December? You know, late November, December. Is he going to be able to throw it and gun it when it comes down to it?
You know, and that's some part of the evaluation. Now, if you're worried about hands, the guy's got 10 7/8-inch hands, largest in the class. So that's not going to be a cold weather problem that people are worried about. That is not going to be a problem. By the way, the Browns have just released a note that they have released two players, linebacker Scott Solomon and wide receiver Salim Hakeem. Both of those guys have been released by the Cleveland Browns today. Makes sense. All the players in the outside linebacker room needed to get some reps to go around, and that's why you wanted to move those guys and give these guys opportunities. And then the wide receiver position, obviously you draft four of them, you're going to get rid of Salim Hakeem.
When
we come back,
we're
going to have Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Very happy to go to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline and welcome in the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the one and only Jim Donovan. Jim, how are you?
I am good, Nathan. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. 14 new Cleveland Browns drafted by Sashi Brown and company. What did you think of the Browns draft?
Well, I'm working on my flashcards right now to get reacquainted with this football team. I took a step back as this was unfolding, like on Saturday afternoon, and you have some depth on it. You kind of see a pattern. And what I saw here, and I'll be interested to hear what you guys say, and maybe you've already said it, but what I watched here was a real attention to a bunch of guys that they drafted, and they all have a really interesting story coming into the pro game and into the NFL. And the interesting story varies from individual to individual, from first pick all the way down to seventh round pick. But it's usually the theme is these guys seem to be high effort, and in some cases at some point in their career they were doubted by people that they could make it and pushed, and they were kind of forced to really prove themselves in the way it might have been in getting a scholarship. It might have been proving, in the case of Corey Coleman, that you're not big enough to really be a wide receiver at any level, never mind the NFL. And it might be for Cody Kessler that you don't have the strongest arm. But all of these guys, Nassib, Ogba, all of these guys have been challenged and met the challenge and used it to become a draft choice, and in some cases a very high draft choice, in the NFL. And it just seems as though you have a bunch of high motor, and I hope high integrity guys that are coming here that have faced adversity at some point in their careers, overcome it, and used it to really fuel how they're going to become a better player. And that's very interesting to me.
It definitely is, Jim. And as you continue to, flip through those flashcards, is there a player or two, and Nathan have three that we're really, I don't want to say we're rooting for all of them, but really just going to take an eye to that you really think can be very productive as a rookie for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I'm dying to see the wide receivers, but I'm definitely dying to see the Coleman, the first guy they selected, because, he just looks like an explosive player, and I would really lean on the explosiveness. And, we have needed that in this offense and at that position for a number of years now. And that's why we've always been so excited with watching Josh Gordon play, because he jumps out at you. Now, he's probably going to jump out on any team if he plays again. But I'm really excited to see this kid because he just looks so explosive for an offense that, we reflect back on here in Cleveland, and it just kind of peters along. We just kind of chew up a little yardage here and a little yardage there. So if you have a guy that can get you a lot of yardage in one big play, that's just really going to help them a great deal. I'm really interested to see, Ogba and Nassib and how they adapt to coming into the NFL and becoming pass rushers, because they both have, obviously, very high sack numbers coming out of college. And, guys can have that, but getting in and getting the quarterback, as I'm sure you know, Matt, coming into the NFL game, that's a different and a much steeper, mountain to climb to get there. So I'm interested in that, but I'm really interested in I'm interested in them all, but really the fact that we have so many wide receivers coming in here now, and that, they drafted sprinkled throughout the draft, I'm very interested. And I watched a lot of Cody Kessler. I watched a lot of his games. I'm a night owl, so I stay up and I watch games. And I watched him at Southern Cal. And believe me, I have to tell you, I was really happy when Hugh Jackson brought up the uncertainty and the upheaval at times in that Southern Cal program, and how that kid and all of those kids, but because he's one of us now, how Cody Kessler had to deal with that and how he did. And I admired that even when I watched him on TV playing for the Trojans. And so, again, that's going to be very, very interesting to see.
Talking about Cody Kessler with Jim Donovan, and to hear Hugh Jackson come out and say, trust me, and just basically put his stamp on him immediately, should at least, I think, I don't know, what did that make you feel about the fact that, some people, well, they took him too early. What did you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because I do trust Hugh Jackson. I've seen what he does with quarterbacks. We all have. And, so I do trust him. And I think people really needed to, hear him say that. Hey, listen, trust me. It's just like what he said, in the aftermath of the Rams trade and the Browns then trading out of the number two spot to the Eagles, when he said, that people talk about these quarterbacks, and they judge them as, potential franchise quarterbacks. And I ask, being judged by who, and I think that I do trust Hugh Jackson. The other word that really should stand out about Kessler, and I think, you just look at his numbers, and it's accuracy. He's accurate. Yep. He's accurate with the football. He's got a high percentage on completions, and he doesn't turn the ball over. So, I think that's a big, big plus for him, is that, Hugh Jackson, we have to trust him in regards to the quarterback. I think that he trusts himself a quarterback like that who doesn't turn the ball over, who's accurate.
That's absolutely true, Jim. And doesn't there have to be a little bit of reassurance that, We came into this draft with needs at wide receiver and pass rusher, and those were met. By Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, and their teams. And I really think that it might not be with the names that you or I or Nathan or any Cleveland Browns fan thought would could potentially be in a Browns uniform, but the fact that there was that it was a need as wide receiver has been for the last few drafts,
right.
And they went out in full force and got us four.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's been a need for a while now. There have been drafts two years ago that was absolutely it was like stockpiled with wide receivers, and they didn't go after them. I really am. I'm glad that they did it. The way they did it. That's something that the team has needed, the offense has needed, and I think it just. And the other thing that is, just in sheer numbers, it puts a lot of competition at the position.
It does.
Really does. I mean, you're really going to have to compete now to get reps, to get the ball to come your way, and to do something pretty special with it once you get it. And I think that has been lacking is that, you kind of go out there in training camp in the last couple of years and you kind of say, okay, well, those guys that are out there, as wide receivers, they're our guys, They really weren't pushed all that much. That completely changed after this weekend.
And, Jim, speaking of today, the Browns announced they've released Scott Solomon, Salim Hakeem following the draft. Who are some of the people that you think, could be in trouble now? And I think it's easy to start with the wide receivers and the outside linebackers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you take a look at those positions right now. I mean, you look at, the wide receiver position. You look at Andrew Hawkins, who suffered through some injuries last year. I thought Gabriel had a very up-and-down year last year.
More down,
even when he was healthy. Brian Hartline's getting a little bit older, but, maybe you need an older, more veteran-type guy in there, a wide receiver. And so I would think that all of them kind of raise their eyebrows. That's got to be a very weird feeling when you're sitting there. I know a lot of times NFL players that are currently on teams say, well, I didn't really pay attention to the draft. But, if you're sitting around.
You're a wide receiver. If that didn't get your attention, nothing's going to.
Yeah, and you keep hearing those chimes go off with the Browns selection, and it's another wide receiver. You'd have to say, wow, I mean, they really mustn't feel very secure at this position. And then if you take it individually, they mustn't feel very secure with me. So, I think that those kind of guys really, have to come in right now and say to themselves, wow, this is the heat's been turned up here a little bit, a lot maybe, and I'm going to have to perform. And again, the linebacker position was certainly something that I think we felt anyway, that there had to be a lot more, competition at Mingo's. We've been waiting and waiting and waiting for that. And I would think, when you look towards him is, he's got to look and say, this has got to be it for me, that I have to perform much better than I have in my first few years here.
The good news for Mingo is that Ray Horn drafted him. Now, it is being said or rumored right now that the Browns will not pick up the fifth-year option for Barkevious Mingo. Ian Rappaport has reported that. The team has said nothing officially on that front. But you bring in Emmanuel Ogba, and I would imagine the 32nd pick in the draft was drafted to come in and play every down right away. And I think that makes sense. Now, they're saying he's going to be the rush linebacker. That also happens to be Paul Kruger's spot. You've got Nate Orchard. You've got Mingo. You've got Schobert, who you just drafted now. I wonder how that's all going to play out and how they view the world. And how do you view the world, Jim? You've got Ogba. You've got Kruger, who's probably your most veteran and productive player, but expensive. And you drafted a guy that you probably want to see. So is there room for both Ogba and Kruger on this roster?
Boy, that's a very interesting point that's going to have to be played out here, because I don't think certainly this roster is very much in flux right now and very fluid. So that would be an area that you'd have to look to. You're right, Kruger is an expensive guy. Although Kruger seems very, very excited, as they all do, Nathan, to get the opportunity to play under Ray Horton and for Ray Horton. And I'm sure, it's a couple of weeks ago, Paul seemed very, very much all on board, as far as being excited and kind of recreated and hopefully getting back to where he was a couple of years ago. But yeah, I think that, you just look at the people that they drafted and what those people do as far as those linebackers, becoming pass rushers. And that would have me wondering what my future was going to be here with this team. That is definitely going to turn young, towards the younger players, I think, before they hang on to a veteran player, and especially a veteran player that, is costing them a great deal.
Talking with Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. With 14 picks, one position was not addressed, and that's the running back position.
Running back,
I asked Andrew Berry this, and he didn't come out and say, yes, this is a huge endorsement, but don't you have to think that's a pretty strong endorsement for Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson?
Yeah, I do, because, I mean, I really thought, Nathan and Matt, that there were two. I thought there were a couple of swing guys early in the round, the first round, and I thought Elliott was certainly one of them. I mean, I was wondering if he was going to get by Dallas, and if his availability of still being on the board was going to force the Browns to make one of two decisions. Number one, draft him. Number two, you know, make a trade for somebody that really wants him, and I'm sure there were other teams that really wanted him. But I thought that, you know, Elliott might have been in their future on draft night, on the opening night of the draft. So, yeah, I mean, definitely as that draft played out and you watched it, running back was not addressed, and it does seem to be kind of a ringing endorsement for Crowell. And, of course, I know Duke Johnson's a, you know, a bit of a different kind of running back. But, yeah, if I was Crowell, I'd be feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, and he's come back to camp in the best shape that I've seen him in his 3 years here with the Browns. And he's a guy that's got a lot to prove, but I think that certainly has to help his confidence.
Yeah, and, you know, Nathan, there were times when, you know, when he was used the proper way with, you know, more carries and earlier carries in a game where he seemed to really, you know, that was the running back that I think he really wanted to be and could be and was a productive running back at that time. But there was always this, you know, there were those token handoffs early in games and then you got away from it. Now, most of the times, I know later in the games it was because of score, but early in the games it really wasn't. It just seemed as though that lost in translation of really saying, well, we want to run the ball, but we just don't do it. And I think that Crowell got lost in the wash on that a lot of times during the season last year.
And he didn't, and there wasn't a commitment to the run. And, you know, you look back over the final four games when they started to use more power and less zone, he averaged 4.5 yards a carry, rushed for 300 yards and three touchdowns. And if you could get that kind of production from him, 75 yards and a touchdown, that's not going to be so bad out of the running back position. And we know that Hugh Jackson likes to use that power scheme. And you can see the kind of, you know, Hill Bernard with Crow and, of course, Duke Johnson. What are you looking forward to the most when you get to see this massive wave of newcomers out there on the field competing with these veterans when rookie minicamp and then finally the OTA start up?
Well, I think also, you know what I'm looking for, and I hope it's visual. I really do. It usually would be when I make my point here, and that is I think that I'm looking for speed. You know, not only, you know, offensively, but speed obviously in key areas defensively. I think it was a slow team for whatever reason. It was a slow team, I thought, last year. At times, you know, really, you know, just
not
a
sloggy,
slow team. I look for that. I mean, I really do. And I just look for, you know, the ball to be going down the field and being caught and to have guys, you know, able to take it and go. And I know that's a big part of Corey Coleman's game is the run after the catch yardage that he's able to really tack onto a play. And I think that that's really what I'm looking for. I think it starts, though, with more team speed, not just young guys. I mean, you get young guys, but they still can't be quick. But I think it seems as though that they have added some speed at a lot of different positions. You factor that in with what I said when we started out here, with guys that have high motors and a lot of energy and a lot of, you know, kind of, hey, I'm going to prove because I've had to prove every step of the way. And I think that makes for a very competitive situation.
It certainly does, and we talked with Andrew Barron, asked him about the spark and the speed, and said, yes, we want explosive athletes, and they certainly did get those. Jim, appreciate the time very much. Always a fun time, and now we get to see when these guys come out here and get to work, how they look as the newest members of the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I'll tell you what, they all looked pretty good up at the podium the other day in suit, coat, and tie, so I'll be interested to see them when they're in their Browns uniform.
Right, when they're in their true gear. All right, Jim, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Good to be with you guys. Take care.
All right, Jim. The great Jim Donovan there. We'll be back with our final thoughts, wrapping it up on this Monday edition of CBD, which, quite frankly, Matt Wilhelm, has flown by.
It has.
Fast. Time flies when you're having fun, and we're having fun here in Berea. We'll be back with more wrapping it up on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Wrapping it up here with our final thoughts quickly. Gibbs, just wanted to ask you, what do you think of Andrew Berry there? First opportunity for us to get him here in the Dog Bowl.
I've talked to Andrew Berry before. I saw him quite a bit downstairs over the weekend. I had a few minutes to talk to him here and there. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
Confident, quiet, knows what he needs to do. And we heard all the great things about him at the Combine. And everything that we've heard has definitely been true, and he's lived up to the billing so far, being a future superstar in this league in the front office.
Yeah, and look, and the proof will be, obviously, with how these guys perform. And now I'm at the point where the switch just flipped for me. I just want to see them on the field.
It's time.
It's time. Let's go.
You know what? And you know what?
I wish it was training camp tomorrow.
You wanted to fast forward to the draft? Now get me to camp.
Hey, Browns Fan Fest on Saturday, May 14th. Get your tickets. You could see all these guys.
That's right, Jason Gibbs.
Yeah, the guy that does that live read, good man.
I'm just saying, like, you, for people not wanting to wait, you can see rookie minicamp live at Fan Fest at First Energy Stadium, May 14th.
Which is actually going to be a pretty cool thing, I would say.
I think it's going to be awesome. You kidding me?
You and I will have a role in Fan Fest there, Nathan.
I think we all do. I'm broadcasting live that day.
Are you?
Yes.
Indeed. Fan Fest, just to kind of follow up that, it is the second annual Cleveland Browns Fan Fest coming to First Energy Stadium Saturday, May 14th. You can join the 2016 rookie class, all of them, the alumni, coaches, members of the front office, other special guests like me and Matt Wilhelm. Tickets are on sale now. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or the mobile app for more information. For those of you who wanted a deeper dive on the prospects, I tweeted the link out. You can get off the Browns YouTube page, the Browns website, Browns mobile app, which is the Dog Pound Report, as we kind of get in there and dive in on those players.
Matt. And I know we got only 1 minute left. The Cavs open up round two tonight. Sluggish or on point?
I believe that they will be on point.
Okay.
I think they're going to come out. They own Atlanta.
Okay.
I think it's that time. What do you think?
I'm just saying. I know that I'm seeing pictures of Quicken Loans decorated with the yellow T-shirts, which are obviously not the wine as we received in the finals last year. So I think sluggish could, again, and it became, we were struggling in the first half and down at halftime almost in every game in round one versus Detroit. It was the second half that matters, and I think that's what's going to matter in this series.
And they will get the job done. Yes, I think they go ahead and get the W. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. We will have more for you as we continue to get in this draft. Hopefully we'll have some of these players for you sooner rather than later as well here. So thanks for listening. For Jason Gibbs, Jim Donovan, Matt Wilhelm, Pat Kerwin, who
Andrew
chimed in,
Berry,
and of course, Vice President of Player Personnel, Andrew Berry. I am Nathan Zagura. Thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.